Someone taught me once a statement, what could possibly go wrong? And I live by that now.
Welcome to the 39ers Podcast, a podcast by Business SA. This podcast will dive deep into the people and businesses that drive the change in South Australia. The 39ers are a community of forward-thinking, high-achieving business leaders aged 40 and under, creating a think tank of ideas, inspiration and opportunity that will shape the future of South Australia and beyond. This show is a gateway to the captivating stories, the inspiring journeys, and the insightful conversations with some of South Australia's best and brightest minds in business who are shaping our state. I'm Tim Leavis, and I'm from Business SA. So, you know, a little different here. I'm extremely intrigued by our guest today. I really am, and keen to hear their story. A 40 under 40 nominee in 2022, a self-proclaimed technology and business geek from Adelaide, someone who invests heavily in tech and his team. They fly under the radar a little, but don't let that fool you. The person in front of me is making a huge impact to high performance in business here in SA. Welcome, Managing Director of Four, Jake Press.
Thanks, mate. Glad to be here.
Oh, it's great to have you, and thanks for disrupting our intro today. It was a great first conversation early from there. What's going on with Four? What's happening?
A lot. Yep. A lot. We're doing a lot of good stuff right now. We're investing pretty heavily in transport.
Yep.
We're right into our business operations and doing some good stuff.
Fantastic. So for those listeners out there, what is Four?
So Four, let's wind it back. There's about 30 of us. We're all Australian. We're Adelaide based. There's a big group of engineers in that mix. We like solving problems.
Great.
So we're right into technology. We're right into people. And we're right into business operations. And where those things intersect, that's where we like to play.
So it sounds like there's a lot of challenges involved in that. When you're talking business, you're talking about technology and people coming together as one.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got a platform of technology that we put together and our customers utilize to run their businesses.
So with that, you talk about empowering people to do and achieve more. Tell us about that.
Well, one way to look at it is when you go into a business, right, and everyone's got technology, they've got systems, they've got heaps of systems, they've got all this stuff, but it doesn't connect. The technology doesn't work for itself, so the people end up working for the technology, right?
Yep.
You probably see it everywhere. You might see it here. You definitely see it in the businesses I know you move through.
Yep. Yeah.
It's backwards.
Yeah.
So what we're trying to do is take a different spin on that. So we want to see the technology working for the people.
Yep.
So empowering the humans to do more. We really want to unlock the potential in business.
Yep.
Which we think there's huge amounts in there.
And you love to disrupt stuff. And we saw it early with this podcast as we're setting up. You know, I'm setting everything up. I've got my way that I do things. And you started to align things on the desk. Talk us through that.
The act of knolling. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, it's about being organized and having things in their place, right? So you can think about other things. You can use your brain cells for something that matters more than what's going on in front of you. You can think about bigger things. It's something we do a lot at work. We're always knolling. There's some good stuff online about that.
Nothing else to add there? No.
Can't resist, hey?
No. So, you know, when we talk about knolling and then moving that through to your business and being a disruptor, you know, changing the way people do business.
Yeah, so we often get the luxury of going into different businesses. You know, I went into business in 2006. I've been through a few businesses now, consulting and helping and, you know, changing things around. And initially, I would be there to maybe patch things that weren't working.
Yep.
Perhaps they have a couple of big systems and they're not talking, or maybe it's not actually doing what they want. And we would parachute in and we would make it work. You know, we were the kind of team that would rock up with a laptop and a soldering iron.
Yeah.
We weren't the fluffy tech guys. We were the guys that just got shit done.
Yep. And so disrupting from there, you go in, you get stuff done, you've got your soldering iron, you've got your laptops, you've got everything there.
Yep.
Yeah. How do you go about disrupting and turning business on its head?
I think we like to go in there with an open mind. We like to look at the outcomes that the business is trying to achieve. We like to look at what's, you know, constricting that, what's stopping that, and what can we do with technology, maybe even a bit of process and a bit of people power, but what can we do with the technology to change that and help get them to where they want to go? You know, sometimes it's a fresh lens. Sometimes it might just be understanding what's possible with technology and being able to put it together. But yeah, it's always fun.
Yeah.
It's always very, very fun. And it's very rewarding too when you can go into a place and, you know, tech gets a bad rap, right? Tech's there for the people. I think people think about it the other way around, but it's not. Tech is there. It's made by the people for the people. When you put technology into a business the right way, it should empower the people. People shouldn't be losing their jobs. I haven't been in any business where we've empowered the team and they've lost their jobs. Those people have maybe got better jobs.
Yep.
They're doing things that are more creative and more fitting to who they are and what they want to be doing. Some of the places we've put tech, you know, these shouldn't have been jobs. It reminds me of like digging holes with spades. Like these days you use excavators, but the same thing happens in a back office. There are people cut and pasting between various spreadsheets and systems and manually moving paper around. And, you know, sometimes you see people scanning and printing and scanning and printing the same information four or five times as it moves around an organization. That shouldn't exist anymore, right? That's something we like to take out of the picture and, you know, free up that energy for something a bit more creative.
And so where does this creative come for you? You spoke about software development and you learning that as well. And as a trade, you said it was a trade of yours, but I think there was a little comment there that you said about, oh, well, I'm self-taught. What's the
yeah,
that?
Actually, quite a number of us are self-taught, myself included. I didn't go to university to do what I did. I just got straight into it. I've been coding since I was 14 or 15.
Yep.
Just sort of come naturally to get in there and play around with things I didn't understand until I did understand it.
Yep.
And then start to use those things to build things. But yeah, I've just been doing it all my life.
Yeah. And any particular code that you're using there, or anything that
solves the problem.
Yep.
We don't get too caught up on what particular language, right? We get caught up on the outcome that we're trying to achieve. Yeah, once you've mastered programming to a reasonable degree, right? You can always be better, but once you've got some reasonable handling on it, you can use any language. So the choice is, what's the best one to solve the problem?
Great.
What's the best framework? And there's more to it than just languages.
And so, how do you go from a junior coder to then moving through to starting these businesses and then accelerating to 30 plus people now?
Yeah, so me in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've earned my stripes here in Adelaide working with a small software development house, which was great. I got poached from there. I went up to Queensland, worked in a startup in the telco space, which was awesome. In both places, tremendous people. I learned so much. For me though, I've always wanted to run my own business. I wanted to build my own thing. I'm always putting things together. So that was great. I ended up having to come home and get started. Adelaide being my home, so I was up in Surface Paradise for maybe 2.5 years.
Okay, yeah.
That was good. Being a young guy, there was plenty to do up there and keep me busy. But Adelaide's always been my home. I love the weather here too, by the way.
That's good.
I'm not good with the heat. So
not good with the heat.
I like the seasons.
Yeah. So yeah. The winter was good for you then?
Yeah, I love the fires, right?
Yeah,
also love
yeah.
the summer too, but I love the difference.
Yeah.
It's always changing.
It's a lot about Jake Press we're understanding about now, which is great. A family man as well. You know, you said earlier, and you know, the family is strong for you. And you know, how does that sort of play a part in business for you?
It's all part of the same thing for me. Mm-hmm. It's just a life balance, right?
Yeah.
I'm lucky enough that my family enables me to do what I love every day at work. So I've got three children, and they're awesome. And my lovely partner does the lion's share of the stuff at home, which enables me to do all these cool things.
Yeah. And so, how important is the family for you?
Priority one, right?
Yeah.
It's got to be. It's what you do everything for.
And so then around this work-life balance, it's not like that for you. It's just a life balance, you said.
Yeah, I don't think there's a separation. Yeah. You know, it's just the same thing. So it all just merges together. And you've got to be organized. I don't think organization is drawing a big black line down the middle and saying, all right, everything before five is work and everything after five is family. For me, it's just both.
Yep.
So you can do both.
Yep.
And you can be pretty happy doing that. That's how we operate at work too. So we're very flexible. We don't, people can do what they want, right? So if they do want to do 9 to 5, power to them, great.
Yep.
If that's how you want to set up your world. But if you want to have that flexibility and do what you need to do during the day, because that's what life is, right? Things happen when you're not expecting, you have your plans and you keep flexible with them. But that's how we run.
And so we talk about that work environment. It sounds like you've got a very fun, cool culture. From someone who doesn't know from the outside, that's how it sounds.
Yeah.
You've got Daytona.
We do.
You've got a lot of other things going on there that are fun and cool. So tell us about your area that you work there.
Our space, yeah. So we're just off Rundle Mall. It's quite a large space for 30 of us.
Yeah.
It's really good. We've got all the toys. Funnily enough, which I think Kate liked when I told her about this, but we've made all our own furniture.
Yeah, great.
So that's, you know, everything is ours It's how we want it to be. It's all very deliberate. It's a good creative place to be. We're not in there every day. That's the funny part. People are always surprised. So we've got this huge space, but we're wherever we're performant. We are wherever we're getting the most done and we want to be. But it's there when we need it.
Yeah.
So there's normally a few people in there every day, but it's pretty glorious when 30 people rock up and, you know, we're coming together for an all hands or something like that.
And everyone's wearing the merch as well, the four merch, and they live and breathe it.
We do. We love that brand.
How have you developed that? How have you developed a team that absolutely lives and thrives and wants to promote your brand without actually, you know, spruiking it all over the socials?
Yeah, I like to think we're not spruiking it. We're just doing what feels right.
Yeah.
And I think we all believe in the mission we've got and what we're doing together. And I think it's deliberate. We definitely put effort into, you know, the message we're taking to market and where we take that market. So we obviously don't have a website. We're in our stealth mode. We're doing our thing. We've got huge networks. We've got lots of customers. We've got lots of connections. Yeah, we're very deliberate at that.
And you could be working anywhere in the world, anywhere across Australia. Why South Australia?
It's a brilliant place to be. It could and should, and maybe it is a powerhouse, right, for technology. There's a lot happening here that, you know, you don't see in the newspapers, you don't see in the magazines. Like, some of the people in South Australia are just tremendous. There's a lot of good things brewing right now. We spoke about the weather. I love the cold weather. I do love a bit of heat, but I definitely like the cooler weather. Yep. I'd live in the fridge if I could.
Yeah, okay.
To be completely honest. But it's good. It's easy to live here. You know, travel's good. The city's great. You've got everything you need. You know, there's wonderful people. It's, you know, small town vibes, but also we've got everything, right? And from here, you can travel anywhere you want. We're in the middle of Australia, right? So if you need to peel off to southeast Queensland, it's really not that far.
Yep.
That's great.
And so then in regards to South Australia, where do you see the opportunities? Where do you see the growth and opportunities of SA and for your business?
I think for us, it's definitely our headquarters. I can't see that changing. I don't think we're ever going to be the business that requires people to come to the office. It's not what I mean. But it's definitely a great place to congregate, come together when we need to. I think the same is true for a lot of businesses. I think this is a place that larger organisations are coming to already for the same reasons we're here.
Yep.
Right? You've got everything you need. It's not overcrowded. The quality of talent here is just astonishing. More and more people are staying. There's been that brain drain thing for a while now, but I don't know if that's if the talent's leaving as much anymore. I think more people are really starting to enjoy the life that you can live here. So I think it's a good place to do business. Mm. You can do business from here anywhere now. It's not like you have to go overseas to interact anymore.
And so then in regards to SA and what we should be talking about, have you got anything that, you know, should be on the agenda of the politicians? Unfortunately, you missed the Premier's event the other day. But,
yeah, I know.
But, you know, was there anything there that you thought, you know, yeah, we should be asking this or talking about this from that sort of level?
I think we should be looking at how we change the way we work. I think even at the more legal political levels, right, we think about it as a separation between family and work, but I think it should be the same thing. I think we should be thinking about how work's going to change into the future, you know, the whole future of work thing, right? Like, I think it's moving very, very quickly now. You don't see people traveling to work anymore. I don't think we're set up for it as well as we could at that level. Mm. Businesses are changing. We're very different to a lot of businesses, and I think more people are moving into that space, right? But the rules and regulations don't really fit. You know, everyone's in theory doing their 38 hours, but what is a 38-hour week anymore? Do you do a 38-hour week on the dot? Do you clock in?
No, not at all.
I don't think anyone does. I think that's just not how it works.
I may do about 10 hours, I think, maybe a week of work.
Double digits.
I think. But to your point, yeah, certainly I think there's a lot of people out there that are doing more than 38.
Yeah.
Are they starting at 9, finishing at 5? You know, what does that look like? Certainly not. Yes, a lot of people are starting earlier, and it does flow over into the family, like you talked about.
Don't take me wrong. I don't think we should be doing more than 38 hours either, but I just don't know if that's the primary measurement of success that we should have in our lives, right?
Should it be outcome-based then?
I think absolutely.
So then
we should all be driving results, right? Because that's where you get satisfaction from. That's where you get
the results. Here's the outcomes that you need to actually accomplish, and for that, I'll give you X amount.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. I don't know what can change in that space, but I know it's not right.
Yeah. It's a great view of how work is going to change in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly I think we're starting to see that with some people changing the work hours, to your point, you know, the days or the hours or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly is changing, no doubt about it. So what about your support base that you've got here in SA for business? You've spoken about others that you get to work with and whatever else. Do you have a strong support base with the collaboration of other businesses and whatever else?
Yeah. Probably including some of our customers.
Yep.
You know, we're almost like partners, really, a lot of our customers. We've got close relationships with them. And, you know, it's a mutual thing. So if they're successful, we're successful. If we're successful, they're successful, right? So I think so. But mind you, our network is not just in South Australia. We're all over Australia, and we've got customers international as well. And we try our best, and we definitely do foster great relationships with a lot of them.
And so part of this is success and failure. We talked about outcomes. You know, that seems like it's a measure of success for you. How do you deem success? How do you see it and view it?
Oh, wow. That's a deep question.
It is.
You mean in life or in business or in both?
Well, I'll go with business first of all.
Business.
How do you? What do you deem as success?
I think if we're making a good difference and we're having a good time doing it and the team's really happy and everyone's getting out of it what they need, including our customers. So I think it's a big trade of value, right? And we both get values.
That's fantastic. And then if we flip that for yourself, your own personal success, what do you deem as success for your personal life? And I know that it's very great because it's just life by the sounds of it.
I think so. So obviously happy family, happy team, happy everyone. That's a big part of it, right? I don't think financials play in that much. I think the financials sort itself out. Yeah. I think it's the ability to be creative and enjoy my time. If you're talking about me, enjoy my time doing what I'm doing and have enough time with the family and just make the most out of all the time I've got every day. Yeah. I think if I'm getting a lot out of every day and I'm making it count, then I'm really pretty happy.
Simple but powerful. That's great.
Simple's good, right?
Yeah, it is. It is. So then if we have a look at failure or challenges or however you view them, have you got a famous failure, a famous piece of where you've gone, no, that didn't work at all, but a great lessons come from it?
Oh, probably more than one. I've touched a lot of hot pans. Possibly more than once sometimes. Yeah, nothing's really coming to mind that I can share right now, but we've had some really, really interesting experiences in our world doing business. Yeah, definitely learned a lot, especially with how to operate and run and navigate the big wide world, we'll put it that way.
And then how do you react? Something doesn't go right.
You keep moving.
Yep.
You keep moving. You're in control, right? You've got to figure out what control you have, and you have to keep moving with it. You never stop.
This is a fascinating story. I'm loving this, Jake. Just got to say. So then I'll ask you about legacy, and if you've thought about it at all, you know, what's the legacy you're looking to leave? Or
legacy is a good word, isn't it? It's going to be making a difference, right? It's going to be if we as a team can change the way people think about doing business, that would be amazing. You know, I think we are very accustomed to businesses that operate. But I think they barely operate. You know, there's a lot of businesses that are strung together with random processes, with random systems, and they're quite backwards. And that's kind of the status quo. Like things don't die, therefore it's good. Whereas things could actually be quite amazing, and things could be quite performant. And like a performant business doesn't need to be a meat grinder. I think that's something that we've all got backwards in the world right now. I think a performant business can be a real happy group of people with technology just killing it, just doing a good thing, right? Yeah. Everyone's living their best lives at home, they're living their best lives at work, driving big outcomes. So for me, it would be maybe pushing that further and creating the technology and the platform that others can work that way. You know, we're really excited to explore like new ways of working too. We're always self-disrupting ourselves. Like we're always looking for ways to change how we're approaching problems and maybe reduce the surface area that's part of it and just really get to the outcome sooner. Yeah, we can go pretty deep on that one. There's a
sounds like we can.
Yeah. So funnily enough, we're a tech company that would sometimes come off the tech.
Yep.
Prior to COVID, we used to go from the whiteboard to the system back to the whiteboard to the system.
Okay.
Continually reinventing ourselves.
Yeah.
Each time it would get better. I'm not sure I'd call it an iteration. It was more like a, there's got to be a better way, and we would reset. And each time it would get better, and there'd always be those bits that are common and core and would come along for the ride. But each time we would have a new angle of how to do it.
You're talking about high performance a lot, and high performant business
yep.
as well. What does that look like for you? What is it? You know, what is it? what does the ultimate business look like for you in that scenario?
Ultimate business? Well, I guess they're fulfilling their mission, right? Yeah. They're driving the outcomes that they're coming together to achieve. Mm-hmm. And they're doing it with minimal cost, minimal friction, and delivering the most experience. I think a lot of businesses size themselves up based on a headcount. I don't know if that's the best way to size up a business. Yep. What kind of positive impact are they generating? I don't mean profit, by the way. Profit's a good thing, right? Profit takes care of itself. But what are they doing in the world? Why are they there? What are they doing that's useful for others? We're in a society. What are they contributing?
So then contribution to the world, where do you see your part to play over the next 5-10 years?
Hopefully we can share a lot of these new techniques we're working on in the software and, prove it works. That's always a good thing.
Yep.
We're living and breathing it and we're always, changing how we approach things. But we've got some cool tech, and we've got some cool tech that changes how businesses operate already. I'd love to see that maturing and getting into more hands and making a bigger difference. Mm. And in that, more people live in their best life because the system's working for them and they're not working for the system, right?
So you look to flip the script on culture within your business. We find the 39ers are trailblazers in what they do and how they go about it. How have you changed culture in your business? Have you got any key things that you have brought in?
Oh, as a relative to other businesses? Or
relative. Maybe the way that you're structured at all or something similar?
Yeah. So we're pretty deliberate with being as flat as possible. We've got awesome team of incredible humans with shared purpose and values. And we try and stay as flat as we can, and we try and organize ourselves not in a pyramid. Okay, we don't want a set of managers telling people what to do, passing around to-do lists and measuring that. We try and take a more of a self-leadership approach where everyone owns their own week and their own outcomes, and they are aware of what other people are doing, and we contribute and work together.
Yeah.
We divide our work up into areas, or what we call scopes of responsibility. So we have like a routing layer to know who is on what and who is owning what and who needs to know what, which gives us a way of navigating. 30 people is not a lot, but it's also a few, right?
It is, yeah.
So when you're working on some complicated stuff, you need to know who to talk to and where.
Yep.
So we use that as a bit of a structure. I think that's pretty powerful for us, and it's an interesting way of doing it, maybe.
And I find that, there's a lot of grey that would come with that. How do you guys deal with the grey and the grey areas?
So we embrace it. I think that's probably the number one difference. I think when we go into businesses and I look at how other people operate, they divide up the responsibilities like little boxes that, if you're very lucky, they tightly nestle. But that's not really how work works. Responsibilities overlap. And sometimes there's a gap, right? Not everything that happens in a team or a business is perfectly aligned to a little silo or a box.
Yeah.
So we take that head on. We don't expect our structure to perfectly fill every gap. Instead, we look at who does it fall closest to.
Yeah.
So when we think about our areas, they're like little spheres. And if there's something that doesn't fit in a sphere, well, what sphere is it closest to? Who's the next best person to talk to, or who might be interested?
Part of that is as well that you talk to the spheres, you talk to the structure on that. It sounds like there's a lot of decision making that you've actually informed the team to do for themselves as well, which is the self-management. How do you go around getting the team then to make those decisions on your behalf? And on, not so much your behalf, but the business's behalf as well.
Let them do it.
Yeah.
I think we work closely enough together that most people know what most people are thinking.
Yeah.
Most people know what needs to be validated and confirmed. But I think we trust everyone to make the right decisions everywhere. We're very lucky. We've got an awesome team. But with the right context, people can really operate quite quickly without having to go through red tape cycles and through loops of waiting for approval. And, some things are, type one decisions, it's a one-way door. You can be careful with those. That's probably when you want extra validation and confirmation and, seek alignment with others. You get type two, right? You can redo those decisions. So. Yeah. Definitely, we encourage our team to move pretty fast with those.
And it would take a special type of person to be part of your team by the sounds of it. Like, not only do your systems lift them up, but it's also as well that this is outside of what the older style businesses have done in the past, the traditional business as such. So it takes a different type of person to be part of your team. How do you actually attract the right people then?
Oh, that's a good question. We don't do a lot of advertising as such, but we definitely we definitely network and know people, and we're out there in the community and, you know, just talking. I think we're, ideally we're pretty magnetic. I think for like-minded people, we've always got a seat.
Yep.
There's plenty to do in the world right now. There's no shortage of work and things that we would like to be working on. Yeah, I think it's about sharing our purpose and finding people that also want to contribute to that kind of mission. And we set people up to do their best work. That's probably one of the things, right? If you can't do your best work in our team, then it might not be the right team for you, because we're all trying to do our best work.
Yeah. And that is something different to other businesses, though. You said you're magnetic. You know, other businesses would kill to have that, where people are just knocking at the door saying, hey, I want to jump on board with your team. It's not as common as what, you know, people say it is. So is there anything you do to nurture that and really build on that at all?
I don't know if there's any magic to it. I think we're just getting shit done and we're doing it with our values and principles first, right? And anyone that wants to join our team is probably well aligned with that. They probably want to make a difference. They probably want to build some really cool shit that does something special. And that's what we're all about.
Very appealing, obviously, to that group. Then we'll take a backseat to where you actually went into business and why you went into business. So we touched on a little bit there around that you got into business and did it, but what was the real reason behind that?
There's so many unsolved problems. Yeah. It's just so tantalizing to help and solve them, right? You move around through the world and through all of these different organizations and you look at how things are going on and how the technology has been applied. Like, tech's great, right? But it's how you apply it sometimes too. It's not just the tech. It's, you know, the change management and the implementation and how it's accepted by the team. And also how it's connected and routed between all the other bits of tech. For me, it's about changing that to work better. It just feels like we're not where we could be right now. Mm-hmm. You know, it just feels a bit backwards. I think we're all about changing that and changing how, you know, at least in our world, how we think about it and how to get the most out of tech. People really have it backwards when they work for the system. Right? The system should be there to work for the people.
Yep.
And that's pretty core to us.
And so you said there about solving problems. You know, you could be doing that in anything else, being employed by someone else, but obviously it wouldn't be as much fun and whatever else. But what else is sort of, you know, attracts you to running your business?
I definitely like building things. Yeah. That's definitely a guilty pleasure. Right? I like putting things together, like piecing together the puzzle or creating something that I can watch run. I think the business is part of that. I think the platform is definitely a big part of that.
Yep.
It's very satisfying to put together some of the technology we've got. And then you look at how it's been applied to a business. Sometimes I see now it's in businesses and I didn't even know it was in there.
Yep.
It's awesome. You look at it and go, wow, that's making a difference. Those people are doing better because of it.
So then we get a lot of people coming out of uni at the moment. Think about when you were growing up and being a developer and starting out being a developer. And I do note that you didn't go to uni, but a lot of people do take that road. If they have or haven't gone out of uni, either way, have you got any advice at all for someone going through that, that stage of their life?
Yeah, certification's good. Yep. Experience is everything. I think there's so much that's left untaught, and our universities here in South Australia are amongst the best. Absolutely. There's still a lot left on the table to learn, and I would encourage people to get in there and just get started.
Yep.
Do the uni as well. You learn a lot there,
yep.
But there's also a lot more that you can pick up by just being involved.
What's some of the best advice you've ever received yourself?
Someone taught me once a statement, what could possibly go wrong? And I live by that now. Everything gets measured through that lens. So, like, big decisions come up and you want to move quick. You evaluate it. What could possibly go wrong?
Yep.
You can do that pretty quickly on some things.
Very quickly.
And if it's not that bad and it could be quite valuable, it could drive a good outcome, you just do it.
We'll talk about the golden rule. Tell me about the golden rule for Jake Press.
Yeah, so we've got a golden rule at work where we only do things for customers or partners that makes a positive difference. I think in tech there's a lot of trust placed in the service providers that they're doing the right thing. And that's not always the case, unfortunately. And we operate with a very strong principle that we will only take projects, we'll only work on feature sets or anything that's going to drive a positive impact. For us, it's not revenue.
Yep.
Right? It's about doing or achieving or providing those outcomes that matter. You know, you go back a few years ago, you know, anyone would pay you to build Facebook for cats, right? They would. They'd call up. It's one of the reasons we don't have a website, because we had plenty of calls on that notion. But we wouldn't take those. We would only pick up projects that actually would drive a good outcome. And by the way, that's how we get all our work.
Yeah.
Because we're referral based. Yep. Every referral we get leads to a project, hopefully a happy customer, always a happy customer, which leads to two more.
Yep. And you know, that's a really good point there that you make, that you haven't needed to have any real major presence from a marketing promotional point of view, because your marketing is consumer marketing, being that your customers are actually doing it for you.
Yeah, we do have our customers referring us to other customers all the time,
yep.
even competing companies, which is quite good. Yep. It really shows that we're just people moving around in life, right, helping each other.
Yep.
Yeah, so we very purposely don't have a website. We very purposely don't do the buzz thing. For us, it's all just about, it's just simple, just do a good job.
Yep.
If you do a good job, you provide good value, the rest takes care of itself.
So I think it's probably a good lead in then to the billboard question. So this question comes from Tim Ferriss in his book called The Tribe of Mentors. And he asked a series of questions. One of them was, if you could have a gigantic billboard anywhere with anything on it, getting a message out to millions of people, what would it say and why, Jake?
Yeah, I think that's a real easy question, actually.
Yeah, okay.
I love that question. For me, if I could put anything on a billboard, it would be probably two words. It'd be useful. I think you can apply that to everything in life.
Mm.
You can apply it to yourself and a team at work. You can apply it to yourself at home. Yep. You can apply it to yourself with your circle of friends, or even in the community you've got, right? Yep. If you're contributing, you're probably satisfied. Yep. If you're adding value, you're helping. I think it's just a positive way to be.
Fantastic statement. Has it come from anywhere at all?
Probably. I have no idea. I think we used to have it on the wall. We've had it on the wall for many, many years.
Great.
When we did onboarding, that used to basically be the onboarding.
Just be useful.
Yeah, when we were smaller, people would come in and, you know, that would be the thing, like, see how you can be useful. And some of our best people have come from that.
Are very useful. That's surprising.
Yeah, that's right, that's right.
And so if we change tune a little bit and we talk about the 39ers, you are a part of the cohort, the first cohort coming through on the 39ers as a member. How's your experience been so far with the 39ers?
Oh, it's awesome. I mean, awe of some of the people in the group.
Yeah.
And, you know, the team running it is just fabulous. Yeah. There's a lot of inspirational thinking going on in there. There's a lot of things that I think could be changed off the back of that group.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's very humbling to be part of it.
Well, there's no doubt you deserve to be there, mate.
Oh, you know, thank you.
There's no doubt about that in my mind. And so you're talking the language and values of what we've heard from all the 39ers, which is fantastic. So, yeah, how do you see collaboration going in that arena?
As in, if we should get together more, or how it should work?
So how is it going to work for you? How's the collaboration going to work for you and Jake Press getting involved in 39ers?
I'd love to get some more skin time with everyone, to be honest.
Yeah.
Right? We should get into more rooms and have more chats and talk about some big issues and maybe how we as individuals or individuals with teams could contribute.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I think it could be pretty exciting.
Yeah. And how did you, what drew you to the 39ers initially?
The purpose. Yep. The purpose. So we're pretty big on contributing back. Like we as a team, and myself especially, feel pretty lucky with where we're at, getting to do what we do every day and, you know, living our dream, right? And any chance we can get to give back to others is good, but also to learn. There is a lot of good experiences in that group, which I'm pretty keen to talk more about and hear more about and learn from.
Yep. So, I'm sure you had access to them, no doubt, with that one there. What are you looking to achieve as being part of that group? Has you got any agenda at all or anything there?
I'm open to help.
Yeah.
I'm not coming to take anything from the group. I'm there to see how I can be part of it and maybe where I can lift things up, if at all. Yeah.
No doubt you can do that. No doubt at all. So, Jake, that's it from me. It has been an absolute pleasure for you to disrupt this room. So thank you very much for your time and energy and your disruption. It has been an absolute ball for me.
Thank you very much. And no promises for next time.
Great. If you found this episode valuable, be sure to subscribe and stay updated whenever we post new episodes. Stay tuned on our socials for more captivating interviews, intriguing insights, and thought-provoking discussions. Together, let's navigate the ever-evolving world of business in South Australia. I'm Tim Lavis. Until next time, drive the change.